Hi everyone, welcome to this new episode of the Players Lounge, the tennis podcast that focuses on the mental aspect of the game. My name is Jennifer Megan. I am a former professional tennis player, and I launched this podcast because I wanted to create a space in which tennis players could find tools and solutions in order to improve their mental skills. But this podcast is not only for tennis players. It is also for parents and coaches whose ambition is to help their kids and players to reach their full potential. If you are a regular listener of the Players Lounge, thank you so much for your support. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. And at the end of the episode, if you like what you hear, I would really appreciate if you could subscribe, leave a comment, share this episode with a friend or someone from your family. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Acast, Amazon, and many more. I want to go on the second part of my Australian Open analysis and to really pay homage to Ash Barty for winning a third Grand Slam on a third surface, different surface. I mean, I have to say that her performance throughout the tournament was quite impressive. She was extremely dominant, and that's why I want to give you the four reasons why I believe that Ash Barty will continue to dominate women's tennis. And stay tuned until the end because I will give you a bonus that you don't want to miss. All right, so let's explore the four reasons why I believe that Ashley Barty is going to continue to dominate women's tennis. Number one, game variety. I think it's meaningless to say that Ashley Barty's game is quite unusual compared to what we see in modern women's tennis. It's quite interesting because she, for the nostalgic of the 90s, she reminds a lot of people, players like Steffi Graf because of the slice, or Gabriela Sabatini, you know, with the slice and being the angles. And she's really a player who's been trained since she was a teenager. She actually mentioned that. To be a woman who can play on every type of court and to win on any type of court. And we've seen, I mean, at the moment, she won on clay at the French Open, on grass at Wimbledon last year, and she just won on hard court, you know, at the US Open. So that's quite impressive. But let's dig a bit into her game. So first of all, we talked about how she's able to hit the ball very early and to take advantage of the point with a forehand. She's able to find really good angles and what I would like to call unusual angles in women's tennis. A lot of times we see girls, you know, hitting hard from the baseline. It's quite straightforward. It's a bit deep. What is great with Ashley Barty is that she's able to hit that very nice zone that I really like. It's a bit longer than a short cross court, but it still, you know, it takes the opponent away from the court and it really opens up the court. And we've seen that when she plays, a lot of times the girls are because it's really hard for. And we've seen that a lot of women struggle moving forward in the diagonal to cut the angle, so they go from behind the baseline and try to reach the ball, and they're out of the court, out of position, and then the whole court is open, and she just have to slice right in or to just hit like an easy backhand in the open court. And she's been using that quite a lot, and we see how a forehand is a weapon of hers, and she's able to dictate it from the get-go, especially on the return. She doesn't hesitate to go inside that forehand and to just dictate the point and hit winners with that. So that's something that is quite good. And of course, a slice is a major asset she uses very well to neutralize the opponent. We see that they struggle a lot with that because she keeps the ball low and deep, and they can't really attack her that much. Even when they try to attack her, she never finds herself or hardly ever on the back foot or with the back facing, you know, the net. She's always in control with a slice, and she's able to also give diversity in terms of the length of a slice, and it's super useful, and it helps also to come to the net. So therefore we see how it's useful. And then comes a serve. It's interesting because she's not the woman in the game that serve the hardest, but a serve is so efficient because it's extremely precise and she knows exactly how to use it. During the final against Danielle Collins, she served, I believe, about 10 aces, which is a lot, and she gets a lot of free points. And it's funny because we don't really talk so much about her serve, but it's so efficient, especially her second serve. She's able to really utilize a kick serve in order to protect herself, but also to give some spin and to disturb the return from her opponent. That's something that she's able to do quite well when she plays, and of course she's able to come to the net. She was for a long time she had a better result in doubles, and you can see how comfortable she's at the net. I mean, whether it's the volley or even the overhead, she never misses, and it's quite good. So all of these and being able to play that game and to see the ball early and makes her like such a threat against the opponent because they don't know how to deal with it. They're not used to that. And we've seen like the scores were really, really telling. I mean, apart from the final, literally looked like all matches looked like first rounds. No offense to everyone, but she was very dominant. Reason number two why I believe that she will continue to dominate women's tennis, it's the fact that she knows exactly when to shift the momentum. We've seen in the final that she was 5-1 down in the second set, and she didn't panic. That's something that you will observe with Ashley Barty, is that she never panics, and she always is looking for ways to get back in. And she said something very interesting during the press conference after the match. She mentioned how when she was 5-1 down, her goal was to change the momentum and to find a new tactic in order to send the message that we might go for a third into a third set. However, I want you to understand that the game is changing, that I'm coming up with a plan. And that's something that is quite interesting, because she did that as well in the final of Wimbledon last year against Karolina Pliskova. She lost the second set, but she didn't panic. You could tell that she was preparing a strategy and adjusting for the third set. And then at the end, we saw that she won that set quite easily. And she's very smart tactically. She knows exactly what she needs to do. She has a very clear plan of how she's going to play the game. And she said, well, the only thing I did was to be a bit more aggressive, and you could see that actually the speed of a forehand was a tiny higher. They gave the stats towards the end of the second set, and she was able to do that, to be more aggressive, to take risk, as she mentioned during the press conference after the match. She's able to really change the momentum and to tactically adapt very quickly, which is not the case for a lot of players. They don't have plan B. Ashley Barty, because of the variety of the game, because she has so many technical options, it gives, and that she used to utilize them on a regular basis, she's able to come up with a plan B without feeling too disturbed and without spending too much energy mentally. So that's what I want to give to you. When you are playing, you want to be able to be very clear about your strategy, about your game, about your strong strategy, what you are good at, and to apply that, and to also be able to say, okay, if things are not working for me, what is the plan B? I know that we are told that we should not have a plan B, but what I'm saying is that you want to make sure that you have several strategies that you can apply and use. So then when you are on the tennis court, you don't feel overwhelmed by, oh, I have too much thinking. It becomes more and more automatic, which is what Ashley Barty is doing quite well, and Rafa Nadal also as well. And they both end up being like winners. So you might want to learn from them. Number third, reason why I believe that she definitely will continue to dominate women's tennis, and I think for me it's the biggest asset that she has, is emotional stability. It's absolutely impressive to watch Ashley Barty because she doesn't give you anything emotionally. You don't know how she feels. All you know is that she's very composed, that she never panics, and that doesn't matter what happens, she's not going to overreact. It's quite impressive, to be honest, especially at the Australian Open, which is a home slam with the crowd was just crazy and yelling and doing all those things. You will think that perhaps she will use that in order to get more energy. But no, she was extremely focused. She barely looked at a box during the match. I was paying attention. And then someone, actually a journalist, asked her after, and she said, well, all the work is done before. And my goal, so I don't need to look at them often. My goal is just to, once we have the plan, to go out there and to execute. And that's really what you see with Ashleigh Barty, is this willingness to execute. She's not about the result. She wants to win, but what she wants more than anything is to execute a tactic, execute the plan, go out there and try her best to execute the plan. And that's very telling. And yes, like I said, she's very composed. The only thing, you know, she pumped a fist quite, you know, simply. Even when she won, she let it out a bit more, but it was still a quite, I would say, humble and calm reaction. When you win a Grand Slam in front of you, you know, your country, you would expect a bigger reaction. But then, when you look at the box, it's the same thing, which brings that point, how emotional stability is important, not only for the player, but it's also it's important that the whole team has the same frequency, what I call the same energy frequency, because to achieve great things, to achieve success as a tennis player, you need to make sure that your team is on the right, on the same page with you. So the thing, the way I see things, and she said that because they asked, but why is your team not jumping around? She said, because we're all pretty much the same. So she really makes sure that the people around her are similar to matching your energy. And it really helps because they can see eye to eye and they can go in the same direction. And we see how it's been working really well for her. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to be very introvert, but if you're more energetic player, you want to have energetic people around you because you don't want to have someone who's going to bring down the energy. And I really believe in that frequency. I mean, we talk about tennis, but it applies for everything, business, life. If you stay with people who are negative, it doesn't matter how positive you are, you will become negative because they will bring down your energy. So that's why it's quite important that when you build your team, it's better to have two people. I mean, we've seen with Medvedev, he had only two people in his box, but it's better to have only two people who have matching the same energy rather than being trying to control someone who's not in the same vibe with you or who's just like creating unnecessary drama. Tennis is hard already. It's such a mental game. You don't want to have external distraction. You want to make sure that everyone is on the same page. And but then I will tell you, stay tuned, how to actually find your frequency as a tennis player. So that would be the bonus. Stay tuned for that. Last point, last but not least, I think that what makes Ashleigh Barty so dominant and I think will continue to make her dominant is that she has no interest in becoming a star. She doesn't care about fame. And that is so, how can I say? You can see that so clearly because every time someone is trying to say, oh my gosh, you must be so excited. Oh, how do you feel about this? How do you feel that you're the first Australian winning after 44 years? She literally like always brings everybody back, you know, to the earth level. She just say, look, I'm here to play tennis, to enjoy, to have fun. I'm very privileged and very grateful. She talks a lot about gratitude and that's it. The whole historical thing is for you. She said it's for you guys, for the media. You want to add some fire to it. But at the end of the day, what I'm doing is to go out there with my team. I want to go have fun. And she said it was really good. The only expectation that I have is to go out there, regardless of the tournament, regardless of the match, regardless of the opponent, regardless of the location. It's to go out there and to play my best and to be able to do my best. That's the only expectation I have. Once that is taken care of, once I really believe that, I really understood this, yeah, the end is the rest is not very important. So the fact that people don't talk so much about her, and I think she's very happy that people talk a lot about Naomi Osaka, Emma Raducanu, all those new, I think she really doesn't care. I think it's actually, it's better for her because she doesn't get the attention. She's not someone who's looking for attention. She knows why she's here. She's here to go out there and to do a job. She's not here to be a star. And the fact that she has such a tight team and family members, they're all very so close. And she managed to keep that bubble. And she doesn't want anything else. She doesn't want to do any. She doesn't want to deal with anything else. And she does it in a very smart way. She's never aggressive about it, but she's very firm about the boundaries. She has very strong boundaries with the media. You cannot play her with the, excuse my French, with the BS of fame, everything. She's like, okay, at the end of the day, I'm super happy, and what I'm going to do now is trying to get better. When they say, oh, how you feel? What do you want to do? She's like, I'm feeling great. It's amazing, but I want to do more. What's next? And she has she's very determined in a very humble way, and that's something that it's not easy to do in that day of fame and in social media and everything. Whereas as soon as you do a little result, everyone is going crazy. She managed to keep a cool and to just say, look, at the end of the day, I'm a tennis player and I'm a friend and girlfriend and whatever daughter for my family, and that's it. Everything else is for you, and I don't want to be part of it. I really like that. So here comes my bonus and how to find your identity as a tennis player. And I think that I've talked about, you know, how she has this emotional stability and how she's always very calm. But of course, it doesn't apply to everyone. Some people like to be fired up. I remember when I was playing tennis, I could not just stay too calm. I really had to show my emotions because that's how, you know, I got fired up, and it was helping me to fight harder. So I think so there is one way to do that. And you should ask yourself, what is or are the values that I want to embody on the tennis court? And this question is so important because it will help you to determine how you're going to behave and the actions that you're going to take. I will give you an example. For example, if you say that I want I want to be a fighter on the court. Well, I'll just give you a very good example. Rafa Nadal. Rafa Nadal is to me what the ultimate fighter. I mean, we saw what he just did today. It's just incredible. And so what is a fighter? Someone who wins, who fights until the end, who runs for every ball, who never gives up, who's always positive, who always believes in the possibility of winning. And that's what I'm talking about him, because that's what we saw during the final. And once you are picking the values, and it's kind of creating an alter ego. Once you have created that, that's why you want to go out practice and practice that and do that. How you want, when you know, and then in the practice matches, everything. And these are the values that you are. So it becomes really second nature. I've done an episode on, you know, how to find your alter ego, actually, where I talk about Nadal, how he is a kind of introverted guy in outside, and how he's like such a fighter and becomes the analogy that I use is Clark Kent and Superman. It's really on the outside the court is Clark Kent, and on the tennis court is Superman. And I explain how the philosophy behind the alter ego, and also, you know, I made an episode where I talk about how to find your tennis DNA. So you might want to go and check those episodes out, because it will really help you to improve your mental skills and to be more clear about your mental strategies during matches. All right, guys, that's it for Australian Open. That was an incredible tournament despite all the drama, and I hope that you enjoyed the episode. Again, if you liked it, I would really appreciate it if you could subscribe, leave a comment, share the episode with someone, and until next time, take good care of yourself. Bye.